You're listening to the Empowered Caregiver Show, where we uplift caregivers through education and support while also lifting up their invaluable role in society. I'm Kristen.
And I'm Liza.
And together we are the Empowered Caregivers. Good morning, everyone. We're here to start a brand new show. Woo-hoo. First time that Liza and I have done a radio show. Mm. We're excited, we're motivated, and we hope that you'll enjoy kind of our mission and our goals for what we're going to try to accomplish with this show. So, Liza, why don't you start off? Tell them why we decided to do this show. It was your smart idea.
Me and my bright ideas.
Yep.
We decided to do this show, The Empowered Caregivers, to bring awareness to the role of caregiver. The caregiver is somewhat under a national crisis.
Yeah. Oh, totally.
As it's been defined in government paperwork. And so we want to be able to bring awareness to the role.
So that we can start building a community.
Yes.
Right? So one of the things that we talked about yesterday as we were getting prepared for the show is that because there is a caregiver crisis and we need to organize as a group of people, as a community to help address what we need, we've got to first identify ourselves, right? You can't build a community until you actually understand and know you're in a community. And it seems weird, but I don't think every family caregiver actually understands that they're a caregiver.
That's right. I think a lot of people just feel like it is part of what you do as a family member, whether
right.
you're a parent, a sibling,
a spouse, a child.
Right.
So, yeah, let's identify for everybody. Let's back up a second and say and explain kind of who we're talking about. Who are these family caregivers?
Well, a family caregiver is defined as all unpaid individuals of all ages who are caring for individuals with disabilities, chronic or other health conditions, and or functional limitations.
Yeah, so the way I've explained it to people, and I understand it in my head, is, well, what I do is I actually look at my own family. So this is Kristen, and I am a family caregiver because I have a 20-year-old daughter who has epilepsy, autism, and an intellectual disability. She's beautiful and wonderful, but she is a challenge. And a lot of what the challenge is for me, I'm trying to, and my husband, we're trying to strike a balance of how to give her the support she needs, but also help her to have some type of independence. Because as a family caregiver, what you're doing is you're helping these people that you love. Again, it can be your own child, it can be a parent that's aging, it can be a spouse, it can be a sibling that needs a little extra support.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
You want to speak to how you identify with this role?
I have a 18-year-old son that was diagnosed with autism at age 3. So I have been doing the family caregiver role for quite some time now. And it is different and it's hard to navigate.
Yeah.
Yeah, you don't want to, there's been times where I have been stuck in kind of the administrative role or teacher role, and you know, you just want to be a mom
right.
to your kid.
Well, and I think what will also help when I explain to people the distinction is when I compare the kind of care and love and parenting I do between Nicole, the one with disabilities, and then Andy, my son, who's neurotypical. We use the term neurotypical in our house to describe somebody who's got a neurology or a neurological makeup that's typical, right? And we don't like the word normal because that somehow implies that there is anybody who's normal. And I don't know about you guys, but there's nobody normal in my house. And so we look at how I parent Andy, my neurotypical son, and you know, I do what a mom tries to do, right? We try to do what the best we can as parents, but it's very traditional to how I was raised and to how I see other people raising their kids, where the kind of parenting and caregiving that I give Nicole goes above and beyond, but it also provides a level of support for the things that she can't do. So sometimes this is personal care stuff. It's a lot of like navigating social things for her. I call myself captain of Team Nicole.
Exactly. They come with an entourage, a lot of people that receive care. And that's just it. It's roles above and beyond of a typical relationship. And today, with technology and so on and so forth, there's more and more to it. A lot of family caregivers are managing complex medical tasks, mm-hmm. Providing emotional and mental health support,
yep.
managing behavioral issues.
Oh, yeah.
Tons of administrative management as far as making phone calls and dealing with health insurance.
The level of emails I do for that girl, it's crazy. Right. I'm like, how can this person have so many different emails and things that she needs signed or that I need to sign? And, you know, I don't mean to be complaining. It's just, it's a whole level and layer of things that I never thought I'd be doing that I have to do.
Right, right. I mean, you're the kind of the personal assistant
yes.
to that person.
And sometimes she treats me like yes. that. Yeah, right? You're my you know what.
Yes. And yeah, we don't want to paint a picture that it's all doom and gloom. It's very no. rewarding. And there are some, you know, scientific studies that show the benefits of being mm-hmm. a caregiver. But there's a lot to it. And for many people, most people, it's unsustainable.
Yeah. Well, and not only is it unsustainable for us as individuals, this country's got to look at this. So especially since we're on a political radio show, we really think it's important to help recognize or sorry, to help point out why anybody should care about this and everybody should care about this. Right. And so we know from our research that 1 in 5 people are going to be family caregivers. And you have an excellent quote from Mrs. Carter.
Yes. Former First Lady Rosalynn Carter once testified before the Senate Special Committee on Aging and said that there are 4 kinds of people in the world. There are people that have been caregivers, those who are currently caregivers, those who will become caregivers, and those who will need caregivers.
Isn't that the truth? And so I think what we want people to hear when they hear that quote is that even if you don't see yourself as in this role, this is something you should care about because you could end up in this role. You could end up being somebody who needs a family caregiver. And probably most importantly, you could be a neighbor or an employer or, you know, somebody in your church or religious organization could be a family caregiver and you're in a relationship with them. And now you can begin to understand what kind of extra responsibilities they have and figure out ways that you can maybe support them or help navigate them through that.
Yeah, excellent point in regards to going outside of the family, because this is something that really is going to take all of us to address, the public sector as well as the governmental agencies, giving the caregivers the support that they need.
Yes, because you know, the world's changed and we all know that we're in a post, you know, industrial system. We're all information based. But as a result, we're also with all this technology living longer. We're able to do more diagnosis of disabilities. We're able to treat disabilities, both physical and cognitive, in a lot of more sustainable ways. And so we've got people around that are now more included in our community, which is excellent. I'm so glad that we didn't have Nicole in the time frame where we would have been told. And I know peers of mine where their parents were told to put their siblings in institutions. And we would have been told that, you know, if we'd had Nicole 50 years earlier, that's exactly what they would have told us about her. And I'm so glad that we weren't, because she, like we've talked about, you know, she's a challenge. And this is a role that oftentimes overwhelms me, but it's also given me some of the best lessons in my life. I'm really, really convinced she's here to teach me patience. And I'm currently in a low learning curve. I'm not learning my patience very well at the moment, but it's an important skill and an important feature and virtue to have in life. And so I really feel blessed, but I know that I can't do this alone.
Right, right. And the numbers on caregivers are pretty eye-opening. Each year, more than 53 million people provide a broad range of assistance to support the health and quality life and independence of someone close to them.
Yeah.
And nearly a third have been doing this for 5 or more years.
Wow.
Yeah.
And I want to emphasize again to our listeners that we are both parents in this role, right? We both have adult children with disabilities, but we're also well aware that this role is something that people take on a lot with dealing with their aging parents. So we will be having on guests to help us with some of those issues and topics. We also know we're beginning, as we're getting older, to see some of our friends as spouses having to support, you know, their loved their partner, right? Their spouse. And it's interesting too that we're also starting to see more grandparents having to step into the role of being family caregivers for grandchildren because of some of the mental health crises we have.
Yeah, approximately 2% of all U.S. children, close to 3 million, are being raised by grandparents, according to the National Survey of Children's Health. And a lot of those children, like you mentioned, have experienced trauma,
yeah,
or have mental health issues as well. And so grandparents are thrown into this role. And you're right, it's not just helping people with disabilities. There's also seniors, there's Americans with developmental disabilities, veterans.
Yeah.
Yes.
We've learned a lot about that in our research.
Right. And then there's the people that are doing the sandwich caregiving that are, yeah, taking care of more than one person at a time.
Right. And typically, I mean, my parents have both passed now, but there was a period of time. I wasn't their primary caregiver. I was a long distance caregiver. And we'll talk about that too and the different dynamics that are involved. Before we go to break, let's just cover a couple of the topics that you think we're going to be addressing in our shows.
We're hoping to have a wide range of topics to, one, bring awareness, and then also to support caregivers. And some of the topics that we're hoping to address are some of the mental health issues, advocacy, employment is a huge concern for, yep, caregivers. How do you work and be a caregiver? And then the impact on the whole family, just to name a few.
True. And in this stuff, we're going to begin to really bring in people in the local community here in Madison and Waukesha and be able to explore some of the resources that are out there. People besides us are starting to identify that this is a need and that they're providing and organizing some services and programs. So we'll be bringing that to the air. And we're hoping that you guys will reach out and talk to us too, and we'll have different points in time where we'll open up the phone lines. But for today, we're just going to keep giving you a little bit more of the background behind what got us here and where we hope to go. We are the Empowered Caregivers, and I'm Kristen.
And I'm Liza.
And we're going to break. We'll be back in just a couple moments.